good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you once again on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for over 30 years now, and that's thanks to my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, serving all of Southwest Florida, and then our friends up at WAEC Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area, on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then we have our friends up at WTMR 800 AM, serving New Jersey and Philadelphia. And oh, what a privilege it is just to come together to sit at the feet of the Lord and let Him speak to us heart to heart. And if you've been with us the last couple of weeks, you know that we're in the middle of a monthly series looking at a particular portrait of God, because every scriptures that I look at, I see portraits of God, to see His heart, to see His ways, to see His character. Helps me get to know Him better. We are looking at how He is our deeper dive. Yes, no matter how deep our valleys, He is deeper still. He's a deep, deep dive. And in looking at this, we're actually looking at five additional portraits under this category of being our deeper dive, because the deeper we go in Christ, the deeper the portraits we get of what it's like to interact with Him. We've looked at the first two. We're going to cover number three today. So if you have your Bibles, let me invite you to make your way over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to begin in verse 24 here in a few moments. But just a quick reminder as you're on your way to 2 Timothy 2 that all of these messages are archived on my website. That would be markpg.org. And they're under the series called Portraits of God. Just when you get to the landings page at markpg.org, there's some gray boxes there. Just click on the box that says Broadcasts. And then the next landing page, click on the box that says Portraits of God, and then you'll have the list and be able to catch up if you've missed some of these messages or listen to them again. By the way, on that first landing page, you'll also see some other gray boxes, one with videos you can click on, 3-minute videos or so on Portraits of God. And then you can also find articles that I've written in local publications that you can take a peek at. Another box is going to have printed guides on various topics about character qualities from the scriptures, also hot topics that we deal with in church and in life. All that at my website, markpg.org, and all of them with one goal in mind, helping you hear God. And that's what we want to do today. So, as is our custom, let's go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Lord, thank You so much for the privilege we have to come and sit at Your feet. Lord, You love to speak to us. You love to give us glimpses of Your depth, like Moses at the burning bush when You said that Your name is I Am That I Am. Lord, whatever we need, You are for us, and we receive that. So as we take this journey together today, continuing our discovery of how You are our deeper dive, I pray, Lord, You'll open our eyes and let us see Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Oh, we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen, amen, and amen. All right, my friends, just to set the table, this series, this month-long series, will have five messages on this theme of how the Lord is our deeper dive. And we get that from Psalm 42, verses 1 through 2, and then verse 5 and verse 7. The Bible says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for You, God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Why are you in despair, my soul? And why are you restless within me? Deep calls to deep. Oh, my friend, no matter how deep your valley, how deep your despair, how deep your restlessness, the Lord is deeper still. You just have to keep swimming deeper. Kind of reminds me of that old Finding Nemo movie when Dory, the little blue fish, kept saying, keep on swimming, keep on swimming, keep on swimming. Swim deeper and deeper into the Lord. Deep calls to deep. So as we began our journey about looking how we have this progressive understanding and experience of the Lord in our Christian walk once we get saved, we saw that we started by seeing the Lord as our merciful Savior. And that's at the shallow depths when we first come to Christ. He is our merciful Savior because Matthew 9 tells us that we are downcast sheep and we need a merciful shepherd to save us, because an upside down sheep like that will die unless somebody comes and makes it right side up. We're blinded by the God of this world, held captive by him to do his will, upside down sheep, downcast, needing a merciful Savior. So we talked about that in message number one. Last week in message number two, we saw the second portrait that takes us the next level down, the next depth. He is not only our merciful Savior, then we begin to experience and discover him as our gentle teacher. Mark 10, verses 13 through 14 tell us how the disciples were rebuking people for bringing the children to see Jesus. But Jesus saw this and said, "Hey, allow the children to come to me and don't forbid them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." The Lord is our teacher, but he teaches us as his children. And in this day, he was also teaching those disciples about how important it is to be childlike in the faith. And that's why I see this portrait as the Lord being our gentle teacher. The disciples called him rabbi, rightfully so, but not the stern, finger-pointing type of rabbi scowling at you and all that. No, no, no. It's a teacher that just is wanting to walk with you and teach you the things you need to know. We really dug deep into this, talking about how doctrine and theology and hermeneutics and creeds, yeah, that's part of some theological studies that's helpful, but Jesus taught in parables. In fact, the Bible says he didn't talk to them without parables. Why? Because we get the language of story. And so we need to make sure and recognize that the Lord is our teacher at great depths, but he's our gentle teacher, looking for those who have a childlike faith to be able to see the wisdom from above. But we don't want to stop there. It's easy to stop at these first two depths in our deeper dive. It's certainly a great thing to see the Lord as our merciful Savior. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, O Lord. Never lose sight of that. We're always going to be swimming in and out of these depths. Gentle teacher, always walking in a way where you're listening for the whispers of God as he speaks to us heart to heart. That's all the things that we talked about last week about him being our gentle teacher. But you know, it's not just about being saved or being taught. It's also about serving in the kingdom of God, being used by God to do his work in his way, some mighty things. And it's an astounding thing to recognize that we are tools in the hands of a mighty God. We are tools that are being shaped by the hands of the mighty God. And as I think about a good portrait to really give us a picture of the Lord's heart in this way, the one that comes to my heart is how he is not only our merciful Savior and not only our gentle teacher, but level three, the next depth down, he is our gracious master. Now, the word Lord, as in Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Lord means master, and the Lord is our master. But you know, when we hear that term master, it might be that we get triggered into thinking about the harsh kind of masters that we hear about perhaps in the history of the U.S. with Southern masters over slaves and stuff. In fact, not just here in this country, it's been in every country throughout history where there have been slaves and masters and stuff. And it's a harsh kind of thing that comes to mind, and many of those situations were a harsh scenario and tragic. Now, having said that, and thinking about ancient Rome, thinking about how that was the era in which the New Testament was written, and how there was a hostile captivity that Rome had established in the in the Bible areas in Israel, in Judea, and all of that stuff. Master had a very strong connotation in that time. In fact, sometimes too, you can think in terms of generals and kings, you know. So let's unpack that. Now, first of all, let me just quickly acknowledge the reality that the Lord's the one who chose the term master to use. He also is referred to as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's also alluded to as conquering generals like David and Solomon, you know, coming in for the ticker tape parades when they had slain their thousands, but David is 10,000s of people were yelling and screaming and all, and the Lord is going to be coming on a white horse and all that stuff at the end of the age. And so all that imagery is totally there. However, there's a qualifier to that, because while those are very strong titles and powerful positions, I'm using the title of him being our gracious master. And I'm drawing it from the overwhelming portraits of God throughout the scripture of how gracious and loving and kind and merciful he is. In fact, I want to take you to 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26, because here he is going to specifically show us what it's like to be a bondservant and how to represent him in the spirit of a bondservant, which is going to reflect how he is not just our gentle teacher, but also our gracious master. Because you see, let me just take you there. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. The Bible says this, "And the Lord's bondservant," or the master's bondservant, "must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all." Now, let me stop there for just now. Because those first few words, "the Lord," or "the master's bondservant," a bondservant is different from just a servant or a slave. A servant or a slave alone would be one that perhaps had been purchased or held captive to do work for this harsh or conquering master. But the word bondservant is totally different. A bondservant was a servant who had chosen to stay with the master, voluntarily chose to continue serving the master even after the gracious master granted them their freedom paper, so to speak. It is when a master would offer to set the servant free, but the servant says, "No, I choose to voluntarily stay, to willingly stay, to joyfully stay." And at that moment, he ceased being just a servant and became a bondservant. Why? Because he had a gracious master, not a harsh master. Isn't that powerful? And by the way, they would, to signify that, they would pierce an ear, and they'd put a little gold circle in that ear to signify this is a servant by choice. My friends, when we are saved by our merciful Savior, feeling so grateful that he rescued us as downcast sheep, blinded by the god of this world, being held captive by him to do his will, when we have been discovering him as our gentle teacher in the metaphor of our being his children or his followers or disciples, we get to that place where he also wants to release us in ministry, to use us as his instruments to draw others unto himself. We become his bondservants in the court of the king. It is far better to be serving as a bondservant in the court of the king than to enthrone ourselves as king upon a little puny kingdom we might try to set up all of our own. The Lord is not a taskmaster. He is our gracious master. But now here's the deal, because there's some subtle things that can be set into play if we're not careful. You see, when I view the Lord or somebody as the master's, the boss, as the king or the general, I can serve him, and I can serve him very dutifully. I can be a good soldier and do my work and get, you know, be lauded by the general, be promoted and all those things. I can serve in a spirit of duty, but not have the joy. And often duty turns into just kind of jumping through the hoops, making sure I don't anger the master. I don't want to get whooped. I don't want to get whipped. And we can just jump through the hoops so that we don't get in trouble, or so that we can keep the goodies, or we can hear the adulations or whatever it is. But my friends, when we just take a duty approach to serving the Lord, the Master, the gracious Master, we're missing the point. Because you see, we can become like the bitter brother in the famous story of the prodigal son, which would better be named the prodigal sons, plural, because the one who went off and squandered his inheritance on wine and women and all, that's easy to see. But the one who stayed and was dutifully obeying, he became bitter and resentful. And when we know that, because when the little brother came back and was being restored by the gracious master or father in that particular story, the older son, when it had nothing to do with it, "You didn't even get me a goat and you're getting a fatted calf for him. I'm not coming in here. He just squandered everything. I've been the guy staying here doing what I'm supposed to do. And he's the one being celebrated. That's not right." See, that's bitterness. That's resentful. And in obeying just out of duty, because we're the servant and he's the master, misses the point. We don't obey because we're fearful of being punished or even killed or even kicked out by the master. That's not a good theology at all. We don't have a taskmaster. We don't have a harsh king. We have a gracious master. And what does it look like? Who is it that we get to serve and happily get to stay in his presence and serve in the court of the king or gracious master? Well, it looks like this. The Lord's, this is 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all, skillful in teaching, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance. Now see, it's God who grants a changing of mind, which is what repentance means, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses, because they've been out of their mind, and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Oh man, I love this passage. I mean, this is giving us a picture of what it's like to be a bondservant of the Lord, reflecting the very character of the gracious master. Because remember, when we come to Christ, the goal is to become Christ-like. So this is showing us what a bondservant looking to be Christ-like looks like, not quarrelsome. Do you get in quarrelsome debates all the time? Are you kind of bombastic and argumentative? I hope not. What about kind to all? Do you see everybody as worthy of a word of kindness and encouragement? Or do they have to earn it in your book? Skillful in teaching. Are you a student of the gentle teacher, which we looked at last week, but now as you're getting to serve him, you're learning even more, on-the-job training, as it were? Are you patient when wronged? Scripture talks about sharing in the sufferings of Christ and being patient, letting him unfold things in his time. And then verse 25, do you gently correct those that are in opposition, or do you go toe-to-toe, fist-to-fist, hand-to-hand combat, as it were? No, with gentleness. And the Lord does that with us. He gently corrects us. He's kind to us. He's skillful in teaching, patient when we wrong him or cop an attitude or go on a rebellious bent for a while, like the prodigal son, one of them did. The other one stayed and was bitter. The other one went away. But see, God's the one who grants repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. And then we come to our senses. I love that phrase there. We kind of get disoriented, disillusioned, confused, wander off. And then the enemy can hold us captive, keeping us ensnared with his lies, with his confusion. and held captive by him to do his will. We don't even know we're doing his will. We think we're doing our own thing. So all of this gives us a graphic picture of what it is to be a voluntary bondservant of the gracious master. And we obey him not because we fear his punishment, but because we love his heart. We're receiving so, so much kindness and gentleness from him that we want to obey. We don't have to obey. I love that. This is the spirit of the Christian life. Now, let me just kind of make an application sideways here to the subject of marriage. Because in Ephesians 4, it tells us that we are the bride of Christ, and that we're going to actually amplify that next week. But let me just touch on it this week for this reason. When you get married and you take those vows, you can try to build a marriage based upon duty. I need to be nice to her or to him. I need to do these things in order to be a good married person. And you can do it out of duty. You can be faithful. You can be long-suffering. You can be dutiful. You can do all those things. But if you're doing it from a heart like that bitter brother was doing it and obeying his dad and staying home and jumping through the hoops, your marriage is not going to thrive. But if you focus in on the love motivation rather than a fearful motivation, it makes all the difference in the world. Now being a bondservant to the gracious master takes on a whole different feel than being a private or a corporal or a lieutenant in the armed forces to a general or a colonel or a captain or whatever. Oh yeah, military duty, okay, in one sense it's a good thing, you have to have some of it. But the Lord has something deeper than that here. He wants us to see him as our gracious master and see the love motivation here. So going back over that passage again, this passage that was birthed into my heart way back when I was in the University of Texas at Austin. This was many years ago. I was on Campus Crusade for Christ and the ministry team there as a student, also active in our church, our mega church there in the college division and all. And one day I was going through my quiet time, and you know, I was feeling pretty good about myself being a student leader, you know, in these two organizations, you know, my church and Campus Crusade and all that other stuff, and feeling pretty kind of high and mighty and important and all that stuff. And I was reading through 2 Timothy. I came to this particular passage about the Lord's bondservant not being quarrelsome, but kind to all and skillful in teaching, patient when wrong, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. And I wasn't doing that. I saw myself as a prophet. And I was the one to say, hey, brothers, hey, sister, you're sinning here. You need to repent of this thing. You need to get right with God. Hey, this is the right thing to do. You're doing the wrong thing. I thought I was being the John the Baptist of the groups there. I was like a guy with a sawed-off shotgun, trying to share the truth of God like a mighty prophet. And the Lord said, you are totally missing the boat. Because I was reading this passage, and I went through it as fast as I could to get to the next chapter. And he said, slow down and back up, son. I want to make this your life verse. But I don't want it to be my life verse. I like being the powerful prophet, the John the Baptist and all that stuff, making a difference and all. Listen, it's not a sawed-off shotgun spirit that I need. I need a surgeon with a scalpel. Does a surgeon cut through flesh? Yes. Is there blood? Yes, but it's all with a purpose. It's all with skill. It's all with tenderness. It's all with the purpose of healing. The guy with a sawed-off shotgun, just trying to make a name for himself, just trying to make a point, just telling it like it is, not worried about how it's going to hit other people. No. These surgeons, they have people under anesthetic before they do all of this, but it's with a purpose. You're to be a heart surgeon, son. This is why this is a great passage for you to hang on to. I am the gracious master. You are the bond servant. who must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those that are in opposition, that God may grant them repentance. You're not leading people to repentance, son. I'm going to do that. Leading to the knowledge of the truth, that they might come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. My friends, this is the feel. This is the reality of the Lord, our deeper dive, who is not only our merciful Savior, not only our gentle teacher, but he is our gracious master. And we get to be bondservants, serving in the court of the King whenever he sends us out with joy, with love, with gratefulness, as opposed to being resentful or bitter or angry. A huge, huge difference. Oh, he is our gracious master. Well, Lord, I'm just overwhelmed by this journey because it just reminds me that I got to keep diving deeper and deeper and enjoy the deeper waters of fellowship with you, getting to know you in greater depths. Thank you, Lord, for being our deeper dive, our merciful Savior, our gentle teacher, our gracious master. We can't wait to continue our swim to see how you are even deeper than this. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org. Till next time, oh, fall in love with the Lord, your deeper dive and gracious master.